Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The lesson from the Old Testament is the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Thou whose glory above the heavens is chanted by the mouths of babes and infants, thou hast founded a bulwark because of thy foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou dost care for him? Yet thou hast made him little less than God, and dost crown him with glory and honor. Thou hast given him dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is thy name in all the earth. The lesson from the New Testament is taken from the 2nd chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou carest for him? Thou didst make him for a little while lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to man, he left nothing outside his control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for every man. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. May we pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before thee as a collective community of worshipers, asking for thy guidance and direction in the course of our lives. We pray thy special blessing upon this seminary family, upon those who will soon be leaving to enter places of service for which they have long prepared. We pray for those who will be remaining to continue their formal preparation. And we pray for those who continually remain here as a place of service. We also would pray for those who have left these halls of learning in years past to enter thy service and to try to bring glory and honor to thy name in the ends of the earth. We pray for those who provide for us that we may hear, teach, and learn. And we pray for the larger fellowship of Christianity, from whose stream of learning we draw. May we also have the wisdom and courage and strength to contribute to the heritage which has come to us so richly from others. Be with us in this hour of service, that whatever is said and done here may be done to thy praise and glory. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As if Handel's great composition, The Messiah, were not sufficiently its own reason for being, it was the direct inspiration for what many regard as equally great, namely Haydn's oratorio, The Creation. Joseph Haydn, whose life spanned the entire 18th century, determined in his declining years to produce a work along lines similar to the Messiah, and especially its celebrated chorus, the Hallelujah Chorus. The work he composed, entitled The Creation, is described by one critic as follows. It seems the outpouring of a spirit ingenuous, unsophisticated, and exultant in childlike faith in nature's God. A great sacred bird song of jubilance and praise to the creator of things animate and inanimate. A tribute to the hand of love and order that regulates the music of the spheres. With the assistance of Mr. Max Smith at the organ and Mr. Ben Johnson directing the choir, we will now hear representative excerpts from The Creation, the commentary upon the music taken from the book entitled Religious Music of the World, will interpret the general flow of the theme of the oratorio. Here begins the commentary. The introduction, the representation of chaos, which we will hear at the conclusion of this service, is a wonderful piece of tone painting. The clarinet arpeggio, blending with appropriate scraps on oboe and horns, invariably strikes the listener. The seething of a great mass of instruments, delicate flute passages being mingled with occasional tutti, and the continuous alternations of forte and piano fill our minds with a vague sense of matter in its primeval, half-molten, formless state. Then succeeds a piece of descriptive recitative for Raphael, followed by a pianissimo reiteration on the strings as the chorus whispers of the spirit that moved upon the face of the water. What a stroke of genius is there in the staccato choral phrase, "Let there be light," followed by the pizzicato chord on the strings, which ushers in the grand C major common chord, taken fortissimo in the accompaniment at the word light, in the phrase, "And there was light." Very tranquil and beautiful is the flute-colored solo for Uriel, which follows, "Now vanish before the holy beams," a strong contrast to the dramatic choral passage which succeeds, remarkable for the chromaticism of both its voice parts and accompaniment, despairing, cursing, rage. One can almost imagine the fell downward swoop of the disobedient angels as they sink in the deep abyss. mingled with the tumult, indeed developed as it were from it, comes that well-known tender little passage on the violins, leading into the tuneful choral phrase, "A new created world springs up at God's command." Starting with the choruses, "The Heavens Are Telling" stands preeminent. The simplicity and yet expert musicianship of its structure is remarkable. It stands almost as if it were a chorale. Later on, we find imitation and fugal development taxed to the uttermost, and yet there is never a sense of confusion or complexity. Never a feeling that the composer is displaying his learning at the risk of being misunderstood. Nothing perhaps can be named finer than the grand protraction once the dominant pedal is announced some 38 bars from the close of tonic harmony. Yet all is carried out so consistently that the ear is never conscious of unrest. There is rather a feeling that we are gradually borne on, step by step, to a glorious cadence, firm and strong, as the glory of the Lord is displayed in the firmament.
We want the sun, peace, and the firmament.
After the benediction, Mr. Max Smith will play as a postlude the introduction to the creation entitled The Representation of Chaos. I think it would be a fine way of expressing our appreciation to him, for he will be leaving us for a year to go to Union Seminary in New York, if we would remain seated during this postlude and thereby also listen to a great piece of music. May we pray. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.